Greetings, Chicagoland. Thank you for tuning in to the weekly program, Building Community, Strengthening Nations, based on improving lives through public service and volunteerism. Today's presentation is brought to you by the Forum to Achieve Altruism, Compassion, and Tolerance, the FACT organization, with more than a 75-year legacy of promoting peace, harmony, equality, and social justice for all. Building Community, Strengthening Nations features newsmakers and movers and shakers engaged in enlightening discussions on current issues and events that positively impact our diverse communities. The FACT organization invites you to contact us for general information or referral services, volunteer opportunities, and suggestions, questions, or comments regarding programming topics and guests. Please call FACT at 773-424-8002 to reach our 24-hour voicemail and facsimile. Our email address is faactorg@aol.com. Now tell your friends to tune in to FACT every Tuesday evening at 7:30 p.m. We're streaming live over the internet at www.thechicagolighthouse.org. My name is Ruth M. Fairfax Frazier. I am the founder and executive director of the FACT organization, and today I am so pleased to serve as your host. FACT is always excited about this opportunity to share time with you, our most valued listening public, with different weekly topics of interest that positively influence our communities. However, as we always say, this can only be accomplished with your help. The fact is, we all need each other, and by uniting our efforts, we can make a positive difference for everyone. In a nutshell, FACT's combined vision and mission is to help create a better world through educating the public and coalescing with others to eradicate biases and prejudices, as well as hate crimes. Chicagoland, we have an exemplary guest joining us today, and I'm going to let him introduce himself to our audience.
Thank you, Ruth. My name is Michael McStraw. I'm the executive director of Giordano Dance Chicago. We are America's original jazz dance company, and we are 53 years young.
Well, Mr. McStraw, you have an extraordinary voice as well. So are you sure you're just a background in dance and not radio or vocals?
I have been a singer since high school.
All right.
I'm a choral music geek is the best way of putting it. So
wonderful.
That's where that comes from. And then 5 years in customer service on the phones, in and out. So
Okay. That's
where that comes from. Thank you.
Well, let's start off with you telling us about your background. Where do you hail from?
I am from Erie, Pennsylvania. I say that proudly. I come from an extended, loving family, and I bumped into the arts when I was a young boy, and it wasn't until I got into college that I had discovered dance. But I have what I like to call a background that is a poster child for a liberal arts education. So I've always had a strong science and art part of me, equally divided between those interests. And when I was in ninth grade, I took an earth science class and I decided I wanted to become a geologist. Mm-hmm. So ninth grade through college, that's what I was geared up to do. And I went to a small school in western Pennsylvania, Allegheny College, a small liberal arts school that just celebrated its 200th year of anniversary. And while there, at the end of my freshman year, I saw the dance company perform. And I said, I want to do that. Well, I also have a background in music. Pennsylvania is a state that at the time had a very strong music education program. This is going to be important when we talk about Giordano Dance Chicago's outreach effort, because I am an example of the power of the arts. When I was in third grade, I was given musical tests. Did I have any aptitude? And the answer was yes. So in fourth and fifth grade, I was given the chance to have private music lessons in school. And they gave us instruments to learn. Well, when we moved from one side of town to another, I had picked up the trumpet. And my teacher was a violist with our symphony orchestra in Erie. And they gave us free tickets to come to the performance. Well, as was the wont with my family, we were late getting to the auditorium. And so I walked in the middle between two movements of a concerto. Don't know what the music was, but I was transformed in that moment by the sound that I heard. So that launched into whatever number of years playing trombone, singing, being involved in music. So it really wasn't that far off to move into dance as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, this journey, I got to the end of my 4 years and I thought, well, you have a degree in geology. I don't want to be a geologist at the time, which is 1978. About all you could do was to go work on an oil rig. And that didn't sound very glamorous or exciting for me at the time. So I took another path, a lifelong dream, which was to be a Peace Corps volunteer. And I worked in Sierra Leone, West Africa. I was an agricultural extension agent. I was trained in the Chinese and the Taiwanese methodologies of planting rice and took those out at the ripe old age of 22, talking to farmers, asking if they wanted to learn something new and to break generations of tradition to get greater yields on their rice. So while I was there, I said, I want to become a professional dancer. When my time was done with the Peace Corps, I came back home to Erie. I studied as much as I could. Then I went to graduate school at the University of Michigan, and got my master's degree in modern dance performance. And then, after a year in Cincinnati, moved to Chicago. So I've been a proud Chicagoan since 1984, these 32 years, and have been active in the dance community ever since. But I did perform with a series of dance companies, with Jan Arkerton Dancers, Akasha Dance Company, Mordine & Company Dance Theater, a company I'd also managed back when it was at the old Dance Center of Columbia College. And as life had it, those were the Reagan years. There wasn't much funding, and the jobs were drying up, and I found myself temping. And I ended up working for the old Searle Pharmaceutical Company as a temp secretary, which launched me into a 17-year career in pharmaceuticals, in operations and marketing. So, it's a path that veers a little bit, but the skills one learns and the things you do along the way all feed off of one another. But it was that musical thing that really started me on that path to understanding how valuable the arts are. So after the 17 years, this job as executive director with Giordano Dance Chicago was posted, and I said, it is time to go back to the performing arts. My kids are raised. I don't have those college bills anymore. It's time. And so I have proudly been at the helm of this organization on the business side for 6 years.
Now, how many years did you actually devote to dance as a performer?
Oh, gosh. It's a hard one to answer because I would say, in college 4 years and then in grad school 2 years and here in Chicago actively as a performer about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when the job change happened. And so the sad thing was I had to stop performing full time.
Mm-hmm.
I was an angry person for about a half a year until my then wife said to me, you may have to stop dancing as a living, but you don't have to stop dancing. And so the gift of that was that I got to continue performing until I was in my mid-50s because I did not destroy my body. I still have my own knees and my own hips. So it was a gift that even though I had to sacrifice and not be able to dance full time, it extended my life as a professional dancer.
Wonderful.
So, yeah.
Wonderful.
Good question. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Now, many people, as you are, interested in the arts. Can you give our audience just a little sampling of what are some of the careers that are available if you're not a performer?
Sure. So, most organizations, depending on their size, have a business function. If you're a mid-sized to larger arts organization, performing arts organization, or a visual art, or music, you have a structure around you that supports and enables what you do on the stage or in the classroom or in the studio. So for our organization, we have an executive director. That's the role I play. So I'm responsible for the strategic side of guiding the organization towards a growth plan and making sure that our mission stays true, and so on. But then I have people on my staff who do marketing. I have an administrative assistant. I have an office manager who does all of our books. So one can have other skills that work well within the organization on the business side. On the artistic side, you also have a whole lot of people who help get the performers to the stage.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the technical people, you have the lighting designers, you have the costume designers, you have the technicians on stage themselves, you have the people in the theater who run the theater. So there are plenty of opportunities for people who are not actually performing to help support that. Mm-hmm. You can also be involved as someone on a board of directors to help. We are, Giordano Dance Chicago is a 501c3 not-for-profit organization, and we have a board of directors of 18 people. We have an associate board, it's a young professional board of 14 people, and those people all help promote and support the organization by making contacts and coming to our performances and helping us to sustain ourselves. So there's a lot of opportunity for people who may not be performers to be active in the arts. I said that, I answered your question, though, from the professional point of view. There are so many amateur organizations. And remember, amateur is a word that comes from the Latin. It means for the love of. And I sang with Chicago Master Singers for a period of 12 years. It's a completely volunteer chorus of 120 people. We sang the great works by Beethoven, Mozart, Brahms, and on, and it was glorious, and it was a volunteer organization. So there are plenty of ways to stay active in the arts and have your life enriched by that experience, even if it's not your job or even if you're not a performer.
Well, before we go into the performances that are coming up, are there volunteer opportunities with your dance troupe?
Oh, there are. We have, at any given time, we have about a dozen volunteers who help with different things. Sometimes it's working with us in the theater itself, guiding our student groups coming through. Sometimes it's helping out with mailings. Sometimes it's going through 53 years of stuff and helping us to archive it. So absolutely, anyone who would want to help out with a 53-year-old dance company can give me a call.
And what number should we call?
312-922-1332, or you can always find us at our website at giordanodance.org. Let me spell that. G-I-O-R-D-A-N-O-D-A-N-C-E. org.
And let's give the telephone number again.
It's 312-922-1332.
Well, I understand that there is a dynamic performance happening at the end of this week with your dance troupe. Can you tell us the venue and a little bit about what's going on?
Ruth, we are so excited to have been asked back to perform at the landmark Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University. It is one of the most spectacular places in the world. I have had the pleasure of performing in a lot of sacred spaces, and I count theater as a sacred space. And there is nothing more thrilling than to walk into this 4,000-seat auditorium and see the architecture that's 126 years old and to be part of the history of this organization. So we've had several chances to perform in different reasons on the auditorium stage, but it was in January of 2015 where we had our first evening-length performance there, and based on the success, the Auditorium Theater has asked us back. And so on June 11th, Saturday, June 11th at 7:30 p.m., Giordano Dance Chicago will be back at the Auditorium Theater to close out our 53rd anniversary season.
Okay. And I understand it's also the final performance of the season's Made in Chicago dance series.
Yes,
so it's certainly an honor to have you back there as to, you know, culminate all the activities.
Yeah, we're very proud to hold that position. And then we're all going to sit down for a little bit because we're a little tired. But it is, you know, it is thrilling to be part of an historical organization such as the Auditorium. Wonderful people who work there. They do a superlative job of bringing outside dance organizations to Chicago, especially Alvin Ailey. Wonderful that that happens. But they also promote Chicago dance, which is so important. The Chicago dance community is very vibrant. Do you know that there are over 212 dance organizations in Chicago?
I didn't know if it was that many.
212.
Wow.
And so, you know, it's nice that the Auditorium Theater selects some of us who are they bring to the stage.
Well, let's give the date and time of the performance again.
It is Saturday, June 11th. Begins at 7:30 p.m. The performance runs about 2 hours.
And we want our audience to know that there is accessible tickets that can be purchased at the box office of the Auditorium Theater, 50 East Congress Parkway, or you can call 312-341-2300. Again, that number is 312-341-2300. 100. Let's delve into this upcoming performance.
Sure. I would love to tell you about that. Before I do, though, let me set a little context about my organization.
Sure.
As I said before, Giordano Dance Chicago is America's original jazz dance company. We were founded in 1963 by legendary dance pioneer Gus Giordano. And he is widely credited with being one of the people who helped elevate jazz dance to a level of credibility that existed for modern dance and for ballet. Mm-hmm. So he brought it up from a stepchild position into having its own credibility, which is really one of the many gifts that he's given to the world of dance. Our mission is to expand the art form of American jazz dance, which is an indigenous American art form, to expand that art form, whether on the stage or in the classroom or in the community, and to enrich as many lives as possible in the doing. Mm-hmm. And everything that this organization does touches that mission statement. So the pieces that we will be bringing to the stage all have a different point of view, have a different choreographic voice. Mm-hmm. They all have a different sound to them. Mm-hmm. With the music selection. Our artistic director, Nan Giordano, who is Gus's daughter, mm-hmm. she has been artistic director now for 23 years, and she says this all the time, I don't want somebody to just come in, sit down, and see us and then go away. I want to take our audience members on a journey. I want them to experience all the different art forms, all the different styles of dance that have been influenced by jazz. I want them to have different musical genres so that they have a different sense. I want a different emotional state in each of the pieces. So, you know, there are ups and downs and ins and outs, and the most important thing is to leave them wanting more. Mm-hmm. And it's something we take very seriously. So the five pieces that we're presenting on the program mirror that journey that we like to have our audience go with us on. The other thing about a Giordano Dance Chicago performance is that you just don't witness it. You feel us. There is something spectacular about our performers. There's an energy. There's a certain something that I like to say that it crawls across the stage and down into the audience because we have a power. We have a sense of elegance and mm-hmm. regalness, and that comes from what Gus Giordano had given to us, the Giordano technique, which is a dance technique. But it has this sensibility of groundedness and energy and power and celebration and elegance. And because of that, and because of that constant training that our dancers have in ballet, modern, and then in jazz as well, our dancers are individuals, but the sense of ensemble is incredible. Mm-hmm. So you may see individual people, but then suddenly you'll have 10 people all doing exactly the same thing.
In
our sense
sync.
Of ensemble
yeah.
is wonderful.
Great.
So that's really kind of a background about how we chose the program we're going to show at the auditorium on Saturday.
And tell us for a second, musically, how did you choose those selections as
well?
Oh,
that's a great question. So that's always a little bit, pardon the pun, a little bit of a dance.
Okay.
So when we engage a new choreographer to come in and create a new work, Nan Giordano and I will sit and we'll say, well, you know, to expand the art form of American jazz dance, we have this big bag of 157 works that we have created over 53 years. We've brought 157 new dances to the world. But we look at what we have in active rep, which is usually 25 to 30 of those pieces at any given time. And we'll say, you know what? We're missing this. Or we'd like to have another piece by that choreographer because they were so good the last time they were here. Mm-hmm. And so every time we throw a new piece into that bag of choreography, we try to bump it and grow it and make it expand a little bit more just mm-hmm. to show the influence that different people have on jazz dance. So back to your question about music and what the selection is. We sit down with the choreographer whom we've selected, and sometimes that takes 1, 2, 3, 4 years for schedules to work. You know, we may have identified, oh, Ruth, we want you to come in and we want you to choreograph for us. And you'll say, whoa, I can talk to you in 2019.
Okay.
And that, you know, it sometimes takes that long.
Mm-hmm.
But when we do come to you and we do talk, what are you thinking? What do you want to create? Well, you know, I've got this idea for, I want to do a ballroom piece and I want it to be Latin inspired. Or I want to do a work such as one of the pieces that's on the program from Ray Leeper. I want to do a classic Broadway jazz piece. Mm-hmm. And so that began an exploration of what kind of music was going to support that vision. Mm-hmm. It happens to be Michael Bublé, Aretha Franklin, and then an independent version of Come On, Get Happy, sung by a young woman who gave us that gift of that music. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's one example. The piece that opens the program, Crossing Lines, from Philadelphia's choreographer, Roni Koresh, is one of the longest pieces we've ever had in our program. And it has, I think, 8 or 9 different music selections that just go all over the map. But what they have in connection to one another is a sense of kind of in-your-face energy, but also a sense of playfulness, downright funny sometimes, and that sense of the piece is about, Crossing Lines is about trying to find your place. How does one find my place in the world? Mm-hmm. And so those musical selections in the pieces for 10 dancers and then 11 dancers and then 3 dancers and 1 dancer and 2 dancers, and it just really mixes it up. Wonderful. So the answer to that question is it varies. Sometimes mm-hmm. a choreographer will come into the studio and say, I've chosen this music and this is what I want. Are you okay with it? Mm-hmm. Which is a wonderful discussion to have, because it sometimes the journey is so much to try and find it. Whoa, it takes a lot of time and energy. Mm-hmm. Case in point, one of the pieces that will be back on the stage is Sneaky Pete, choreographed by Chicagoan Brock Clausen. And it's really a nod to film noir. It's got those strong lighting angles, and it's got this kind of playful guy, Sneaky Pete, who sneaks into the space, and then he's done something to the people on stage. You don't know what, but they're all like, who is this guy? And we gotta make him pay for what he's done. Mm-hmm. And so it's not anything but good fun. But he had chosen 3 pieces of music that came from different film scores, and they have this driving sensibility and very contemporary, but structured with a classical feel to it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have Broadway jazz, and then you have this contemporary stuff that sometimes goes back into ancient songs, and then you have what Brock brought to the stage with new music from films. So you never know what you're going to get.
So what other pieces will we hear?
Well, I've talked about
and see.
It's so very exciting for us. One of the pieces that we're bringing back is Can't Take This Away. It is a work that's choreographed by Chicagoan Randy Duncan, mm-hmm. and holds a very special place in our hearts, because Randy had choreographed one section of this for Dance for Life. I don't know if you're familiar with Dance for Life. It is a celebration of the power of dance, and it was put into place 25 years ago as the dance community's reaction to the AIDS crisis. Mm-hmm. It was to raise money to help with research and to help people who were afflicted with AIDS. Mm-hmm. It has since grown to have the Dancers Fund. So any one of us who works in the dance community, if we had a fire in our house or a bad car accident and we needed a couple $100 or $1,000 to help us with getting through, mm-hmm. this fund that we all work toward would allow us to have a little hand.
Okay.
But Randy had choreographed one section of this work for Dance for Life some number of years ago. And Gus Giordano loved it so much that the company asked Randy to take that piece and add another dance to it to make it whole. Mm-hmm. And Randy had done this in honor of Peg Giordano, Gus's wife and Nan's mom, who had passed away.
Wow.
And so this piece has great meaning for the family, that is, the Giordano Dance Chicago family. Mm-hmm. Flash forward, Gus, after the piece was created, as Gus was getting on in years, he kept saying to Nan, I want to remind you, I want this done at my funeral. I want this done at my funeral. Have I told you I want this done at my funeral?
Oh, my goodness.
And when Gus passed, it was performed at the funeral, which was really special. It took Nan a number of years to be able to have the work back in active rep, mm-hmm. because of that specialness with her mom and her dad. You know, right. It took a while to go through that emotional state. But every time we bring a piece back, we like to do something a little different. So it was originally choreographed for 10 dancers. We have our main company of 5 men, 5 women, and they will be joined by our other dancers, who are our farm team. They're our performing associates and our Giordano 2, which are the people who come in and train with us with the hopes of eventually getting into the company. Mm-hmm. But we're going to have all 15 dancers on stage, so that, you know, it's a 50% increase on the number of performers. Mm-hmm. And then we're so honored that the Bornet family singers are going to perform the music live.
Oh.
And they, if you don't know about this group, I know they've been on the program, but
yes,
for your audience, if you don't know about the Bornet family, any chance you have to hear them sing, they are wondrous. They came to our studios to audition for us. We wanted to see that it was going to be a right fit between what they do and what we had wanted. And Nan and I sat there with tears running down our face because mm-hmm. they were that extraordinary.
Right.
So this,
and they're all related.
They're all related. It's Mama Lisa and eight kids, and it's marvelous. And they're wonderful giving people, which fits with our aesthetic. Our dancers mm-hmm. are wonderful giving people. So it's a little love fest up on stage behind mm-hmm. the scenes there. But it's so special, so very special to have the chance to bring this piece back, to have them sing live, and then to have the 15 dancers. So mm-hmm. every time we do it, we shake it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one very special piece on the program. And then another, to close the program, Gus created in 1983 a piece called Sing, Sing, Sing to the Benny Goodman, Louis Prima piece. And it is had originally choreographed for three. Well, when Nan talked about bringing it back, the dancers, who have this healthy competitiveness with one another, said, mm-hmm. all of us want to do it.
Okay.
So Nan restaged it for 10.
Wow.
And it's in tuxedos and white gloves and bow ties. Mm-hmm. And it is classic Giordano jazz dance.
Beautiful.
And that's how we close the program. So there's a lot of special dance and a lot of special music on this program.
Well, tell us again the date and time, and how do we get tickets?
Oh, gosh. Well, we are performing at the Auditorium Theater here in Chicago, 50 East Congress Parkway, on Saturday, June 11th at 7:30 p.m. And I have to put on my glasses to read the box office number. It is so exciting, though. The auditorium has wonderful seating, wonderful ticket prices. There should be no reason why people won't want to come and enjoy this. And I want to come back to that after I give you the phone number.
Mm-hmm.
That is 312-341-2310. And that's
okay.
The auditorium box office. Or you can go to the website Auditorium Theater with an R-E at the end of theater.org.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I can't believe we just have a few minutes left, and I know it's so much you want to share with us. Kind of pull it together for me and just give us a couple more minutes of the wonderful things that are happening on with the dance company.
I can't believe this time is zipped by
mm-hmm.
so fast.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing I didn't get to was to talk about the power and importance of education and outreach for
yes.
my organization.
Yes.
We work in Chicago Public Schools. We have a program called Jazz Dance, Science, and Health. We teach 4th, 5th, and 7th grade nutrition and body systems in their science classes through a dance-centric program.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So kids learn about their bones, their muscles, their lungs, about proper hydration from their science teacher, mm-hmm. and then we come in and we dance it.
Okay.
And we've been doing this now 11 years. We're mm-hmm. in Edgewater, we're in Logan Square, and we're in East Garfield Park.
Mm-hmm.
We service more than 430 kids this year
mm-hmm.
in approximately 300 classes over the course of the program. So it's
mm-hmm.
very exciting. We also have a workshop coming up in a week's time that
okay.
gives us the ability to teach the next generation of professional dancers.
Oh, wonderful.
So very important to us.
Okay. Now, do you have any performances during the summer at all?
Oh, or we let our dancers sit down and rest their feet for a little bit.
Okay, because the new season begins
August 8th.
All right.
That'll be our 54th season.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say people can mark their calendars that we'll be back at the Auditorium Theater June 10th of 2017. So
that's already
on the books. It'll be our third performance.
Let's make sure everyone saves that date.
Yes.
June 10th,
2017. Not to be confused with June 11th, 2016, which is just a few days away.
Just a couple days away.
Yes, yes.
And let's give the contact information for the dance company so that we can contact you and take classes.
Wonderful. Again, my name is Michael McStraw. I'm the executive director of Giordano Dance Chicago. Our phone number is 312-922-1332. Or you can always reach us at www.giordanodance.org.
Chicagoland, I'm Ruth Fairfax Frazier, host of Building Community, Strengthening Nations, and we want to thank
Michael McStraw.
Again, for spending time with us, we want to remind everyone to come out this Saturday, June the 11th, 2016, at the Auditorium Theater. Please join us next week on this same station for what promises to be an excellent program of lively conversation, Chicagoland, peace and blessings to you and your loved ones. Bye now.